Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This time of year, for whatever reason, the last 2 years, very bad for LeBron. Very bad. It is very bad. I'll explain in a moment. It's the Doug Gottlieb Show, live and direct from sunny Southern California. And I have a personal story of a tough situation in youth sports I want to share with you. We'll get to that later in the show. Plus, more on Aaron Rodgers. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the NFL draft is completed where draft grades are handed out and no one really knows for like 3 or 4 years who actually won the draft, lost the draft. But we can go through what the best laid plans are of mice and men, and they do often go awry. We got a lot to get to. So, let's start with the Lakers, shall we? How they've been playing. Bad. But not good. Not good. This is LeBron James after another loss where they're putting themselves precariously in position for the play-in games.
Well, it doesn't matter at the end of the day if I'm not 100%, close to 100%. It don't matter where we land. We end up at sixth or fifth or whatever the case may be, or if we end up in the playoff, whatever that thing is, whoever came up with that need to be fired. But whatever.
Wait. You mean something really, really exciting that we'll watch more because it's more basketball where stuff is on the line? Yeah, absolutely. Need to get him fired. Lakers guard Dennis Schroeder is expected to miss an extended period of time because of the league's health and safety protocols. So they're going to be without their starting point guard for 10 to 14 days. LeBron James is expected to sit out against Denver to rest his right ankle. He re-aggravated his ankle in the fourth quarter of Sunday's loss to Toronto. The Lakers have lost 6 out of the last 7 games. Yikes. No Dennis Schroeder, and LeBron has said about this ankle injury that he may never be the same. Really? The sprained ankle. Now, there's a lot of different layers to it. The first thing is, I actually believe that LeBron does feel the pain of this ankle injury more so than at any other time. One, because he's older. I got that. I believe that. I understand that. I think that's reasonable. Two, because he's never really been hurt outside of, what was the injury? The groin injury a couple years ago? And so it's not about pain threshold. If you've never been hurt and then all of a sudden you are hurt, it's going to feel different to somebody who's hurt all the time. Like, yeah, I rolled an ankle. I had a high ankle sprain 15 years ago. I remember what it was like. Dude never gets hurt. So I believe it. Now you add in Schroeder. Anthony Davis does not look like he's sharp. He looks like a guy who's like, yeah, just tell me when I'm clear to play and I'll go up and show up. He does not look like he's in sharp basketball. He want to play his way into shape. That's his that's his MO. And the Lakers are a mess. But here's where I compare it to last year. What were we doing last year at this time? Anybody? Last year at this time, we were all shut down. There were no sports. And on Sundays, we would watch what really became known as the Jordan documentary, right? It was The Last Dance. And there was some great stuff. There was some kind of weird, does this fit stuff. But the net from it was, hey, Jordan could be a real lower intestinal region, four-letter word, starts with the letter after C before E. You know what I'm saying, right? He could be that guy. But, man, he's the GOAT. And who was LeBron to argue with him? LeBron wasn't currently playing. LeBron goes and wins an NBA championship with the Lakers. Granted, didn't play the Clippers, didn't have to play the Bucks, so he didn't play the two best teams. And they win in a quarantine bubble and very few people watch. And I'd be honest, he probably didn't get the credit that they should have gotten. Now you fast forward to this time of year. And while you can say there are things that LeBron does that Jordan doesn't do, and there's things that Jordan did that LeBron doesn't do, if your argument is he's the greatest of all time being LeBron James, boy, last year's documentary where the indomitable will and the inability really to lose in an NBA Finals, right? Would not lose an NBA Finals. Is something that cannot be topped. And after that documentary, when nothing else was going on, people thought much the same. He's the GOAT. Now you fast forward and you're like, do you think, would Jordan have ever said an ankle injury will hurt me so badly, I'll never be the same? Whether you want to call it excuses or explanations or a woe is me, or, you know, being fake tough guy about whoever the hell came up with the play-in game. Like, look, dude, you guys weren't in the playoff game. You came back and said you're healthy. You and Anthony Davis and Dennis Schroeder, and you're not winning. Now you don't have you or Dennis Schroeder. I don't know if the Lakers are in serious trouble, right? Like, do you really want to get into a... Now, they may have to be beaten twice, but I'm not sure I want to get into one of those games with Steph Curry, for example, who can just do some otherworldly things. But the thing about older parts, LeBron is an older part, the thing about broken down parts is once they're broken down, oftentimes they're going to break again. The fear with LeBron isn't the sprained ankle. The fear with LeBron is the sprained ankle leads to him running differently, and you run differently, and that's when you pull a hamstring. You don't have Schroeder. He can't play. Now he comes back. Will he be sharp when he comes back? We've never actually seen him play in the playoffs. And they n't winning last year without playoff Rondo. And I'm not sure they win last year, even with playoff Rondo, if they played the better teams. This is Anthony Davis talking about the loss.
This is the lowest we've been in a while, at least in the past 2 years, from, you know, losing, you know, streak, I guess. But, you know, the only way, you know, is up. You know, we really can't get any lower than this. So we just got to set a course, stay together. You know, it just feels like there's always something with us. You know, just, you know, tonight, no DS. You know, we're trying to find a real rhythm, and there's always something that's happening. So we just got to be mindful of that. God, just got to just stay together and just keep going, keep working.
I actually think it's a very reasonable say. It does feel like it's possible that this time of year, with this team, it's always something, right? Last year with the Clippers, they could never seemingly get all on the court, all on the same page. And when they went to quarantine, maybe that would have helped them. Only Lou Williams did the wings thing, right? Which got him suspended, eventually got him traded. But their team was never whole. This year with the Lakers, they had a completely new team. They were trying to fix it, and Marc Gasol doesn't have it anymore. He's washed up. They went and got Drummond. They haven't really played with Drummond. And then by the time they get a chance to play with him, LeBron's still not right. Anthony Davis is not right. Now they lose Schroeder for 2 weeks. Sometimes it just comes together for teams like it did for the Lakers last year. I told you this. People forget, last year, I have friends that are with the Lakers in the bubble, and they're like, man, we are not in a good place. But then because of the protest, they actually got 2 games of rest. It reinvigorated them. They won that first round playoff series. Then they played the Rockets, who it was a terrible matchup for the Rockets. And then they didn't have to play the Clippers. And once you didn't have to play the Clippers and their families arrived to where they were happier, now they're like, well, the hell, let's win the whole thing. And they did. Things came together last year. Doesn't feel like they're coming together this year. All right, we're going to go back to the NFL draft upcoming next. There are 2 things everyone was talking about leading up to the first round of the draft. One was Aaron Rodgers, and one was the number 3 overall pick.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we got relationships in trouble. Everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers. Will he or won't he be back with the Packers? I have my own feelings. I'll share that with you upcoming. In the meantime, Packers have gotten a chance to make multiple statements, and they're interesting. I don't actually know what's going to happen. I really, truly don't know what's going to happen. No idea. Zero. Not a clue. Nothing. I don't know. No. But what I do know is what I think's going to happen. Okay, so Aaron Rodgers, apparently this has been going on for a while. Are we all okay with that? Can we nod our heads? Gavin, you want to nod your head? You're good? Okay. Ramos, you can nod your head. Eyes, you can nod your head. So, the idea that Thursday is like, oh my gosh, Aaron Rodgers, you know, doesn't want to come back, that there's a rift between him and the team, not new information. So why did it come out on Thursday? Ramos, why do you think it came out on Thursday?
Because it was the first day of the draft.
Okay. So why is that important?
Because it would throw Green Bay's idea of what they needed into a a hard way. They'd have to turn a different direction and throw them off.
Force their hand a little bit to draft a quarterback if they wanted to draft a quarterback, even though they drafted a quarterback last year or whatever, right? And it would allow you, I think that's an ancillary benefit of why it was announced. Gavin, do you have a guess or a hypothesis if you want?
It's the same thing. They drafted Jordan Love exactly 1 year earlier, so he wants to get them back by making them reshuffle right before the draft.
Okay, so here's the question, right? The question is this. Isaac, do you have a thought as to why it got out the day of the draft?
No, but I actually have audio of Aaron Rodgers' thought process about that. Listen. That about sums it up.
I have one more reason.
Go ahead.
ESPN's ratings, you know? Adam Schefter, maybe he held on to it for a week or so. Get people tuning in.
Yeah, what do you guys think? Yeah, I don't buy that.
Sounded good, though.
That would be a no, Gavin.
This is a good hypothesis, okay? The problem with that is Schefter runs the risk of losing the story, right? Runs the risk of losing the story. What was the story that they had? It was the Lene Kukua deal, right? You guys remember the Lene Kukua deal? Have you seen the 30 for 30 on Lene Kukua? Lene Kukua is the fake ex-girlfriend of Manti Te'o, right, who died from cancer, and he perpetuated the fraud for almost a year for an entire football season afterwards. Right, ESPN had the story, wouldn't go with the story. Deadspin got the story, ran with it, and ESPN was left looking like. And now it's you go back and all those writers are still pissed that they were. I don't see when you have the story that big. That the sitting MVP of the league doesn't want to play for his current team, the only team he's ever played for, I don't think you sit in the story. But I don't think it's about their ratings. I think you sit on until the draft day. Here's what I believe. I think that there was a double-edged or maybe triple-edged reason for Aaron Rodgers letting it get out on draft day. Reason one, it's the old FU because of Jordan Love. That's probably the third and least important reason. Reason two is really related to reason three. This was not the first they'd spoken of it, okay? But, you know, the only way in which something is going to happen when it doesn't happen behind closed doors is if you open up those doors and show the rest of the world, hey, this is a real relationship. But the reason it was that day is Aaron's camp knows, David Dunn knows, there's no chance that the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers this year after you get through the draft. Because the trade for Rodgers, one, it's going to have to include current NFL players, but the trade is going to have to replace him right away, not just with a quarterback. Hey, but you're not going to want to wait. We're not going to wait another year and start a Jordan Love a year before we want to. So I believe that this is a last-ditch Hail Mary of an effort. I want to be traded. I want to be traded. Okay, you let it out on draft day because they were trying to, that's why you let out the San Francisco 49ers are calling about it. On draft day, let's see if we can get this thing to happen before the draft. Otherwise, it won't happen. Now, after the draft, what are we hearing? Well, Aaron Rodgers may retire, right, if he's not dealt. And if he's going to be traded June 1st, you only trade a guy June 1st if he doesn't have true value for it. You're not going to get the same value in return. They're not doing that. Not only did they not select a quarterback, but they stayed in line with what they needed, which, by the way, was what they needed when they drafted Jordan Love. They needed a replacement in 2 years. It's been a year. That's what they got. They needed a cornerback. That's what they got in the first round. They needed offensive line help. That's what they got. They lost Jamal Williams as a running back. They got another running back late. Like, they just go and shop for what they actually need and who the highest is on the board, and that's what they do. They didn't flinch at all. And that's why Aaron Rodgers has leaked out another one, which is, hey, he doesn't want to come back, but if you fire Brian Gutekunst. The problem with that is, one, Gutekunst has been a general manager for 2 years. Both have ended up in the NFC Championship game. That's really hard to go like, yeah, we want to get rid of you. Plus, it's a very tight circle in Green Bay. There may be some dysfunction there, but it's a very tight circle. We haven't actually seen Jordan Love play in an exhibition game, no less an NFL game. Nobody knows what they actually have there, the Packers included. Packers included. And I think the last, what you've heard is Gutekunst goes, maybe Aaron Rodgers stays. I think, again, that's the sign of desperation that the Packers aren't listening to your demands. Now I'm going to throw out something even more crazy to figure out how demonstrative I need to be to make this happen. Rodgers doesn't want to retire. If he does, he has to pay back $22 million in bonuses. That ain't happening. Right? And they're not going to trade him, and he's under contract, honestly, for 3 more years. It's not happening. This is Matt LaFleur, head coach of the Packers, over the weekend.
I know the reports out there. I mean, this guy is our quarterback, man, and he's our leader of our team, and I want nothing more than to see him back in a Packer uniform. And, you know, we've been able to accomplish a lot of great feats over the last 2 years, two straight NFC Championship games. I know the seasons haven't ended the way we've wanted them to, but in my eyes, he's the greatest to ever do it. I don't care about Super Bowls or whatnot, but we want him back here.
That's all well and good, Matt, but what if he doesn't want to be back here?
Yeah, I know. And I can't even take my brain to that spot right now. So I just want to do everything in my power to ensure that doesn't happen.
This is Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the Niners. What he told Rich Eisen today about a phone call he had with Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, the exact truth is I don't want to wake up the next day on Friday and see Aaron Rodgers, one of the best quarterbacks in this league, traded without doing any due diligence on it. So I just called Matt and asked him if there's anything to it. And Matt told me I'd be wasting my time if we had Lynch call. And so Lynch did not call anyone the next day. But yes, I did reach out to Matt the night before and asked him hey, man, I don't want to wake up the next day and see that Aaron was traded for something. I didn't at least look into it. And so that's what I did with Matt, and he gave me a very quick answer. So I didn't even tell John to call Goody. So I think that was worked out, I guess. We were happy to get our guy, and hopefully it'll work out for them.
Yeah, it's interesting. Packers aren't trading him. They would have traded him before the draft if they were going to trade him, and they're not trading him. And he's not retiring because he's not paying back $22 million. So all of this stuff is noise, and it sounds really good on radio. Go, oh, but keep in mind, Russell Wilson didn't want to come back. Was he traded? Deshaun Watson, I don't know if they were going to trade him or not trade him, but they had not yet and said they were not going to. The problem is, if now you relent to Aaron Rodgers, his demands, that means anybody who signs a contract, you can. If they say, I'm not going to play, they can be traded. And, oh yeah, by the way, if you acquiesce and fire your general manager, that makes your front office look exceptionally weak, especially considering it's not like Gutekunst has a team that's won 4 games or 5 games. He has 2 consecutive seasons of NFC Championship games, including the number one seed this year. That's the team that he helped reconstruct. So I just... it's a dangerous game that Rodgers plays. It's a bluff that they're going to call you on. Yes, John Ramos.
Precedent, right? That's a big word. Nobody wants to be the precedent. Just like a precedent, not the president, but the precedent. Just like in the Supreme Court. You always go back to the first thing that happened. It's like, well, that happened here. So if you're exactly right, Doug. If they do all this stuff, and then all the other players will be like, well, look what Aaron Rodgers, the precedent. And they'll just go from there and it'll just be out of control.
We're not trading our quarterback after we were within a whisker of the Super Bowl. Not happening. He's under contract. He's only played with one team.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Andrew Brandt joins us. He wrote the contract that Aaron Rodgers initially signed when they drafted him out of college. What better source to talk to you about A-Rodge and what he is, who he is, and what this is all about, and how ultimately it gets fixed. Andrew, how are you?
I'm good, Doug. Talking about this a little bit over the past few days. I wish I had answers. I am not shocked. And let's just start there. I mean, who's shocked when someone takes their replacement that they're unhappy? Of course. You know, he is a placeholder for Jordan Love. He's been that since a year ago. He's kept largely quiet about it for the year, at least in public view, and now it comes out. And obviously that's not the entire issue he has, the Jordan Love pick. But it's deja vu for me, Doug, because 15 years ago, you know, we drafted Aaron Rodgers, and Brett Favre became someone holding the seat warm as an MVP of the NFL. It's not an easy situation. It's something I worked hard to manage a long time ago, and they've got to manage that in Green Bay now.
You and I have discussed this before, but for people just tuning in, it's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, Andrew Brandt, of course. He's a guru in these sorts of things, worked in the Eagles front office, worked in the Packers front office. Now you see him across the dial, and of course he also has his own class at Villanova University. Okay, so when they took him, I got it. And most NFL people I knew got it. Like, Aaron was 36, going to be 37. Didn't have the greatest year of all time. Always kind of gives you that, I'm not really into what you're doing. I kind of do my own sort of thing. And Jordan Love was a 2 years away from being ready sort of guy, which lines up with Aaron Rodgers' contract.
Right.
I just thought it bought them a security blanket if, in fact, they felt like the Rodgers, either he didn't have it or didn't want to be there at the end of this coming season. At the time, was it a mistake to draft him, or was it just a mistake to not communicate? Or is that the right thing to do, to just do what you do and don't worry about the player?
Well, that's certainly what front offices do. It's not peculiar to the Packers. I mean, I know everybody's enamored with this Tom Brady importing his veterans down to Tampa, but the norm, even for stars, is the team does what they do. And maybe they'll let them know on a big decision or check in, but that just hasn't happened in the past. And yes, what's interesting to me, Doug, is that we have, as I just said, we didn't hear about any dissatisfaction about the Love pick. He said he was surprised, you know, something like that over the offseason last year. But now we hear a lot about it. And I think what happened is he turned out to be the MVP. And he's like, well, wait a minute. So I'm the MVP, and you're still going to replace me with this guy, but you don't want to do it now because he's not ready. But you probably are going to do it next year. So I almost feel like he's saying, well, let's just do it now. You know, let's do it now. Why am I doing this? What are we doing here? Where you're just kind of trotting me out there for another year so you can be a good team and then get rid of me next year. So I understand it. I guess what I wonder is, and this sort of, I scratch my head when I read that LaFleur and Gutekunst and Murphy have already been out to L.A. a couple times checking on him. Like, what's going on with the communication? Like, to me, this is all about trust and loyalty and communication and being honest with each other. And I feel like there's some breach there. So I'm not sure what's going on there. It seems deeper than Jordan Love or deeper than getting some receiver that they didn't get or something like that.
Yeah, it is. And do you believe he said Brian Gutekunst or me, one of us has got to go?
I don't. I mean, I think whoever's reporting it could probably come away with it, something to that effect. I don't think it was those words. But and for those who don't know, and you know this, Doug, the Packers are different. I was there for a decade. I mean, there's no owner. There's a president. There's a board of directors. There's an executive committee. But those guys are like, you know, they defer to the GM. It's been that way since Ron Wolf 30 years ago. They defer to football. So they scout. They pick players. The Packers have had elite evaluators, from Ron to Ted to John Schneider to John Dorsey to Elliot Wolf to Brian Gutekunst, who's a disciple of Ted Thompson, who was there as a young scout when I was there. And I want to say this nicely. They're not the best communicators.
Right. All they know is the Packers, right? That's like one of the things is all they know is the Packers and the Packers way. It's worked. This is how they do it. And it's not we're not an organization that has to communicate everything we do with players with anybody else, because we decide things and that's the way it goes.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, when the Packers went through their dark days way back in the 50s, 60s, or I mean, 70s, 80s, 90s, you know, there was interference, I guess. But they're like, all right, we're hiring this guy, Ron Wolf, and it's his call. And then it was Ted Thompson, and then it was Brian Gutekunst. It's like, they do what they do. You know, we are administrators, we board of directors, and all that stuff. So, yes, that's the way it is.
I took it, Andrew Brandt joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. I took the timing of the leak about everything on draft day as one, a little bit of an F you to them, right? The 1 year anniversary of drafting Jordan Love. But I also took that as you said, I don't know if you do deadlines. I say deadlines make deals, right?
Yeah. I'd say deadlines spur action.
Right.
Yeah.
Deadlines spur action. And really the deadline, though with his contract, it needs to be June 1st. The deadline for trading him was before the draft. You're not going to trade for future draft picks when you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, because it's not going to be a good draft pick because he's a great quarterback, right?
Right.
And though you would get some personnel back, you got to get a mixture of both. So I think that's why it came. Those are the two main reasons it came out when it came out, is they were trying to make it happen then because they knew it won't happen now. And it was also a little bit of an FU. Is that a fair guess on why Aaron let it out on draft day?
Yeah, I mean, the draft day thing is really interesting because I understand what you're saying. And yes, if you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, you want present draft picks. You want more; they're much more valuable than future draft picks. But to think the Packers are going to step out of their war room and make the biggest trade in their history with an hour to go, it just didn't seem logical. And I get it, you know. They're like, let's trade him while the draft is about to start. But, you know, maybe it could have come out a week before the draft if that was really their plan. But you bring up the real point, and this is what I've said about Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. You cannot get equal value for these players.
Right.
I don't care how many number one picks or some nice offensive lineman or some defensive tackle. You can't. I mean, you can't get equal value. So, yeah, I do think the Packers are going to trade him next year. And they brought that on themselves by taking Love. But even then, it's going to be hard to see that's equal value for Aaron Rodgers.
Andrew Brandt, our guest on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You did a video, an update of your thoughts on Friday or on Thursday when this all went down.
Yeah.
Now, a couple days later, do you still feel the same that he'll be in a Packers uniform this year?
My answer is yes. I'm not as 100%, but yes, my answer is yes, because he can't trade himself. And they're resolute. They are resolute. They are sticking with their plan. Jordan Love is the quarterback in 2022 at the earliest. So that's the easy part, Doug. Then it's like, what now? So now what? Is Aaron Rodgers going to boycott? Is Aaron Rodgers going to retire? Is Aaron Rodgers going to, you know, give something that really is an ultimatum about Gutekunst? I mean, these are all the options ahead, because the Packers have made their stance pretty clear. And I think it would not be a good organizational look if the Packers come out and say, yeah, we couldn't deal with it all, we're going to trade them. No, I just think, yes, the Packers have made their stance, and now it's in Aaron's court.
And if he retires, he's got to pay back $22 million in bonuses?
Yeah, it's the prorated bonuses, whatever that number is. And he'd be put on a reserve retired list. And this idea that he could play them like Carson Palmer, I don't know. I mean, yes, I guess the Packers could get some stupid offer and let him back on the roster and then trade him. I mean, that's a lot of hoops.
Yeah, I just don't see it. I don't see it. You let him. He played fine, pissed off last year. He'll play fine, pissed off this year. He's not going to retire because nobody wants to pay back $22 million. That ain't happening. And there's no real value for it. No, yeah, by the way, the difference in that and Carson Palmer is, like, look, they went to the last two NFC Championship games. They're this close to get to a Super Bowl. You know, we're not going to blow it up now. Like, if you blow it up if you win five games, right? The Deshaun Watson thing made more sense than this actually makes sense.
You know, one thing I do believe, listen, you're in L.A. I understand sports and entertainment, and you do treat stars differently. That's a change the Packers probably have to deal with Rodgers. He's not just like other players.
Agreed.
And I don't know if that means letting him host Jeopardy or letting him hang out there more or bringing him in for some big ticket item decisions on personnel. Whatever it may be, that's probably a change the Packers need to make, if only for this year. And that's a hard thing to do. The Packers, if we've been talking about, have been this one-way traditional state organization. And, you know, we may see a little change in that.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. And for the draft, assuming Aaron Rodgers is their quarterback, they did really well, right? They got what they needed. They got a cornerback that they needed. They had a slot wide receiver they haven't had in 2 years. And they got offensive line help as they're trying to rebuild their line, which, by the way, that's probably the biggest reason. The cornerback and offensive line is the reason they didn't go to the Super Bowl.
I do not subscribe to the narrative, Doug, that the Packers haven't helped out Aaron Rodgers. I mean, got the best receiver in the league. You got a top 10 running back. You got a top 5 offensive line. I know they had injuries last year. And, you know, you've got some studs on defense. Jair Alexander may be the best corner. Now you get another one. So they didn't lose to the Brady and the Bucks because of their offensive personnel. They had a couple defensive breakdowns. So, yeah. Think they did fine.
Yeah, I did as well. It's Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Andrew, great stuff, man. You're always an unbelievable. Oh, I did want to ask you one thing. There's the video of Howie Roseman. Was that the second round pick? I think it was the second round pick where he pops in and he's like, "Hey, how about that?" Dapping people up, and then you look off in the corner, and it was like, please don't talk to me right now. You've been inside that draft room with the Eagles. And again, some of this is perception, right? We're coming off a couple weeks ago. There was the story about the Eagles and the dysfunction within their front office. What'd you take away from seeing that video?
Yeah. That Tom Donahoe is the guy that he didn't like to pick. You know, they had moved back, and I think maybe it just looked on his face like they moved back, and the guy they wanted went in those picks where they moved back. Listen, Tom Donahoe is, you know, 70-something year old-time scout that was GM of the Bills that's helping out the Eagles. He doesn't care about whether Howie likes the pick or not. He's an old guy that says, I wanted someone else. So, you know, that was shown. That was an interesting little video clip there.
I thought it was awesome. I thought, like, it's the everything else is so fake. This is what it's really like, is guys. Because I was texting with a buddy of mine who's a director of player personnel for a team. And, you know, like, for example, when Trey Lance went, he's like, man, Trey's going to be a star. Just trust me, he's going to be a star. Anyway, then I got to his pick, and I was like, oh, hey, great pick. He's like, yeah, it wasn't really my call. I like him, but that wasn't the guy I would have taken. That's the real world of it, not what we normally see. Andrew,
you know, one quick thing on Trey Lance. He better be good. You know, they traded two number ones, switch number ones. You know, that's what you give up for, like, Jalen Ramsey and Khalil Mack. So I know they locked in on all this BS about they were still thinking about who to take. But, wow, he better be the guy.
Yep, he better be really good. Awesome stuff, Andrew. Thanks for joining us.
Always a pleasure, Doug.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Jovan Buha joins us. He covers the NBA. He does a great job. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. You can read his work in The Athletic. Let's start with LeBron and the ankle. Like, to most Americans, it's just an ankle sprain. Why is LeBron leading us to believe it's an ankle sprain unlike any other?
I think he kind of implied it last night that he probably returned on the early side of his ankle sprain. I think he wanted to kind of have that ramp up to go into the postseason with some momentum, some continuity, get some reps out there with Andre Drummond. And it does feel like he might have returned too soon with you know, just exiting in his second game back and, you know, now missing tonight's game and who knows if he'll play on Thursday. I think it's one of those things where, you know, sometimes LeBron, you know, says things and they get taken a certain way or he knows, you know, I think he's very calculated with what he says. I think it wasn't a coincidence that he said what he said about the play-in tournament. And, I think that's a point of frustration. But we've only heard that as a point of frustration when the Lakers are now facing potentially being the seventh seed. And
right.
Similarly, with Dallas, we heard that a couple weeks ago when it was looking like they were going to be the seventh seed, and now they're the five seed. And I don't think we're going to hear anything from them over the next few days, as long as they kind of stay in there. So, I think there's been a lot of frustration with the Lakers, and I think everyone was looking at LeBron and AD's comments last night. But I actually thought Kyle Kuzma had the eyebrow-raising comments where he said, "We're disconnected, we're unhealthy, we're not on the same page." This is different than last season. And he referenced those seeding games where, you know, the Lakers, I think, went 3-5 in those 8 games heading into playoffs, but they were already the number one seed. They had already proven, you know, they went into the COVID break, having just beaten the Bucks and the Clippers in back-to-back games and looking like the best team in the league. Like, we haven't really seen that from this team, and the best games we've seen from them were pre-AD injury back in early February. So I think, you know, there's just it's different, as Kuzma said, and I think that's bled into the post game yesterday, where you could tell LeBron and AD were frustrated, Frank Vogel was frustrated, and obviously Kuzma was frustrated, and I think it's just it's been a tough season for the Lakers, and I think yesterday, multiple things compounded into being a really frustrating day.
And then you factor in, now today we get news, now Dennis Schroeder for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, in addition to needing him to win games, they need to all play together to get on the same page. LeBron's not playing in Denver. They won't have Dennis Schroeder for 2 weeks.
Exactly. I mean, and that's where, you know, it does feel like, at what point is this too much? You're right. Like, at what point are they dealing with too much that they're just not going to be able to overcome it? Because I think, you know, there's kind of been this notion, this prevailing notion throughout the league that, well, as long as the Lakers are healthy, you know, it doesn't matter what seed they are. It doesn't matter how many games they have together. They're going to be okay, right? Like, they have LeBron, they have AD. We saw what they did in the bubble. They're the defending champs. They're going to be fine. But they're 1-5 since Anthony Davis returned. And if you look at the schedule, it was a pretty cupcake schedule. Like, they were playing lottery teams, and they're 0-2 now since LeBron came back. And, you know, I know he technically exited the game early, but they were going to lose that game, you know, whether he continued to play or not. And both of those losses were against lottery teams. They lost to Sacramento and Toronto. And it's like, you know, this is the stretch of the schedule that even with or without LeBron and AD, they should be winning games. I mean, I was looking at this like, okay, this is kind of the point where they're going to start to rally. They got 10 games left. They're going to get some momentum. And, like, that has not been the case at all. And the fact that they continue to lose these games,
and like, you know, AD has not looked right. He's shooting 39% since he returned. He's missing jumper after jumper. You know, not, I think, being as aggressive in the post and attacking the rim as he should be. And it's just been, you know, I just think at some point, like, we can't rely on what they did in the past, and we have to look at the, you know, kind of the present and the future. And like, objectively, this does not look like a championship winning team right now, right? And you know, if they do that, it's because of how great LeBron and AD are, but they have to start showing that at some point. And I think LeBron has looked pretty good since he came back, but AD has not looked like himself. And if this is the version of AD they're going to be getting in the playoffs, like, they could easily lose in round one. Like, I would not be surprised with the way they're playing right now.
How big was the comeback for the Celtics? It was not just that you had a guy have 60 points, but you were down 32 and came back and won the game. The Celtics have had one of these seasons where they haven't been right in terms of their chemistry. Obviously, they're not as good as the Lakers. Their chemistry has been off. How big do you think that comeback win was for them?
I think it's really big, and I think Boston is the team that no one's really talking about that they should be. I mean, I'm not going to go as far as to pick them to beat one of those top three teams in the East, but I think outside of those top three teams, they have as good of, if not probably the best chance to push one of those teams to six or seven games, or maybe even have an upset. Like, I think you just, like, to me, they're Clippers East, right? And they're not as good as the Clippers, but they have that similar formula of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, two all-star level wings, you know, two six, seven, you know, 6'7", 6'8" guys who can play multiple positions, defend multiple positions, and just kill you in multiple ways. And I think that, you know, I wouldn't put them, again, on that level of a Milwaukee, a Philly, a Brooklyn, but I think, you know, I don't think those teams would love to see them in the first round. Like, I'd rather see New York, Atlanta, even Miami with some of their struggles. Like, Boston to me is a team that also is going to benefit from the postseason, you know, shrinking the rotation, because they're a team that I like their top seven. Once you start getting to top eight, top nine, top 10, I think it drops off. Like, they don't have a great bench, but if you're saying their best players are going to be playing 40 plus minutes a night, like, I think they're one of the teams that benefits the most by not having as much depth. So, you know, I think we'll see where they end up right now. You know, they're in that seventh spot and kind of battling Miami to kind of stay out of the play-in game. But for me, like, if there's a way for them to get into that 4-5 mix, you know, I that's not a team I want to see in round one as far as, like, the lower seeds in the East.
All right. It does come down to matchups, but I'm wondering about the Suns. You know, people don't want to buy into the Jazz because they say they don't have a superstar player, right? They don't have a go-to. You have, you know, with the Suns, you have a superstar, and then you have a guy who has been a superstar in a Chris Paul as their leader. What's the level of buy-in around the league to the idea that the Suns could actually be the best team in the West?
I think there's still some skepticism there, especially, you know, with the lack of postseason experience, where you just look at it outside of Chris Paul and Jay Crowder. You know, most of that rotation has either never made the playoffs before or had, like, a quick playoff series. Like, you know, Dario Saric made the playoffs a couple times and lost in the first round with the Sixers. So I think that's, like, the one knock is just it's tough to see a team go from being completely out of the playoffs and just having this very young core to, you know, usually those teams lose in the first round.
Sure.
Or maybe make the second. You know, we've seen it with, like, the Warriors when they were first starting and stuff. Like, those teams usually lose in the first round, maybe make second round, and that's kind of, like, the best case scenario. But I think with Phoenix, like, I mean, Chris Paul changes that equation, in my opinion. Like, you know, I think he's kind of pushed his way into the back half of the MVP conversation. Like, I don't think I think Nikola Jokic is going to win MVP, but Chris Paul, if you had him at fourth or fifth on your ballot, I wouldn't really fight you on that. And, you know, there's still 2 weeks left, so we'll see kind of where they end up. But especially if they end up as the one seed, like, it's kind of hard not to put him there. So I think the Chris Paul effect has definitely helped them in the regular season. But we've also seen it with Chris Paul teams where they maximize themselves in the regular seasons, but don't always have that extra gear in the postseason.
Sure.
But personally, I'm high on Phoenix. I'm actually higher on them probably than on Utah. I just think, you know, again, kind of that star power. Like, I think we've seen it with Chris Paul before, but Devin Booker, I think, is really special. And Devin Booker is a guy who kind of has that that clutch gene, that big shot making and taking, and a guy who I think will thrive in the under the postseason spotlight. So I'm looking at that team, what they've done this season. I've been really impressed with them. Like, again, we'll see kind of if they get matched up with the Clippers or Lakers in round two. I think it's going to be tough for them to make conference finals, and that's probably how it's going to go. But I think if there's a way to kind of avoid that, depending on, you know, maybe the Lakers and Clippers play each other in the first round, and then one of those teams gets knocked out, and you know, Phoenix is on the opposite side of the bracket. Like, we'll see. But I do think there's a path for them to get to the conference finals, and I think Chris Paul has obviously been the driving force behind that.
Yeah, he's probably the franchise MVP more than, like, just turning completely changing the mentality of that team between coach and point guard has been, the two of them have been incredible. The pushback over the play-in game, how much of this is just nobody wants to face Steph Curry in a must-win game?
I think that's definitely... Like, I don't think anybody wants to see that because, you know, Steph's going to go for 40-plus with the way he's been playing. I mean, maybe even 50-plus with the way he's been playing this season. I think it's also just, you know, there's going to be the memes and the jokes of whoever ends up losing, especially if you're – I mean, could you imagine if the Lakers are the seventh seed and they end up losing two games in the play-in tournament and don't make the playoffs? Like, that would just be the most – like, just the biggest calamity for the Lakers and just kind of the most – I think – one of the most disappointing title defenses in NBA history, if not the most disappointing. So I think I just have a feeling that with just the way Twitter works and social media works, like whoever loses is just going to get roasted and memed. And there's just, it's going to be nonstop, you know, kind of making fun of whoever ends up dropping. So I think that's an element. But I also think it's just an element of when you're in it, you don't want to be in it. But for the other 26 teams, or I guess 22 teams, they're going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun. And I think, you know, anyone who is criticizing it, I think it's looking at it from a selfish perspective, where I think for everybody else, it's like, we're going to, like, there's a reason March Madness is so popular, right? It's the single elimination. It's just the randomness, the chance of it all. And I think you're going to see some of that with this play-in. And, you know, we saw what Steph Curry did in March Madness 12 years ago, and I'm excited to see that again.
Jovan, great stuff, man. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you as we get closer to the playoffs. Appreciate being our guest.
Appreciate it, Doug. Thank you.
Jovan Buha does an amazing job covering the Lakers for The Athletic, but obviously knows the entire association.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.